Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Renaissance Global Limited Q3 and 9M FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Palash Kavale. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kavale.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all on behalf of Nuvama Wealth and Merlin Capital. I thank the management of Renaissance Global Limited for the opportunity to host their Q3 FY26 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Sumit Shah, Chairman and Global CEO, and Mr. Darshil Shah, Managing Director. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Sumit Shah to take us through the quarter. Thank you all, and over to you, Sumit Shah.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Q3 and 9 months FY26 represents a meaningful milestone in Renaissance Global's evolution into a brand-led, consumer-centric global jewelry platform. The transformation we embarked upon a few years ago is now clearly visible in our financial performance, with stronger revenue growth and expanding profitability and improving capital efficiency. Let me begin with revenue momentum. In Q3, our core revenue, excluding bullion sales, grew 16% year-over-year to 824 crores for the first 9 months of FY26. Core revenue increased 28% to 1,886 crores. This sustained growth reflects robust business growth despite significant headwinds on account of tariff and metal price increases. Our direct-to-consumer business continues to outperform. In Q3, U.S. D2C revenues grew 50% year-over-year to 89 crores. For 9 months, U.S. D2C expanded by 50% to 220 crores, placing us at an annualized run rate of approximately 300 crores. Importantly, this is not just volume-led growth. It's high-quality growth driven by premium positioning, own brands, and deep consumer engagement. Encouragingly, revenue growth is translating into stronger profitability. In Q3, PBT increased 31% to 42 crores, demonstrating improved operating leverage. For 9 months, PBT grew 33% to 87 crores. Adjusted PAT increased 36% year-over-year to 69 crores. The performance reflects disciplined execution, margin resilience, and sharper capital allocation, even as we continue investing in long-term growth engines. Strategically, two structural drivers are reshaping Renaissance. First, the accelerated shift towards own brands. Own brands have scaled multiple-fold over the past 3 years. They are not only growth engines but also structurally margin-accretive, capital-efficient, and strategically defensible. Second, premiumization of our D2C portfolio. Our investment in Jean Doucet adds a high-margin luxury player to our U.S. D2C platform. We're executing on plans to expand from 2 to 5 stores by end of calendar year 2026. This strengthens our positioning in bespoke craftsmanship and luxury lab diamonds, a category with strong structural tailwinds. As we look ahead, we anticipate some short-term turbulence driven by fluctuations in metal prices affecting both pricing and demand and ongoing geopolitical uncertainties. However, our long-term priorities remain clear: strong revenue growth across own D2C brands, drive operating leverage through scale and cost optimization, accelerate D2C expansion both organic and inorganic, improve ROE and ROCE towards mid-20s levels, enhance free cash flow generation, and balance sheet strength. The Renaissance today is structurally different from the past. We are transitioning from a volume-led exporter to a premium brand-led, consumer-focused jewelry platform. The runway ahead is visible, multi-year, and compelling. With that, I'll hand it over to Darshil to walk you through the financial performance in greater detail.
Thank you, Sumit, and good afternoon, everyone. I will briefly take you through the key financial highlights for Q3 and 9 months of FY26. Starting with Q3 FY26 performance, revenue from operations excluding bullion grew 16% year-on-year to 824 crores, reflecting healthy underlying demand momentum. EBITDA for the quarter increased 19.6% to 63 crores and margin stood at 7.7%, demonstrating operating leverage despite continued investments in growth initiatives. PBT grew 31.4% to 42 crores and PAT grew 36.5% to 33 crores, reflecting improved profitability, conversion and disciplined cost control. Moving to the 9-month performance, revenue from operations stood at 1886 crores, up 28% year-on-year. EBITDA increased to 147 crores with margins at 7.8%, and the growth is 16.8% year-on-year. Adjusted PBT grew 33% to 87 crores and adjusted PAT increased 36.6% to 70 crores. This growth reflects scalability of our operating model and strong execution across segments. From a segment perspective, our own brands, particularly D2C, delivered robust growth in improving profitability in the US market. D2C revenue grew 39% year-on-year to 220 crores. D2C EBITDA grew 92% year-on-year with margins expanding to 11% from 8% last year. Additionally, finance costs declined year-on-year for 9 months FY26. Overall, the financial performance this quarter reflects strong and consistent revenue growth, improving operating leverage, better conversion of EBITDA to bottom line profits, continued focus on disciplined capital allocation. We remain confident in sustaining this trajectory as we move into the final quarter of FY26 and beyond. Thank you.
Speakers, shall we open the line for questions?
Yes.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Ritesh Gandhi with Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
I said, you know, just wanted to understand any potential implications which happened on margins because of the tariffs and how the, and is the normalization of the tariffs going to help us? Are we like neutral? Are we benefited? Just want to understand that first.
Sure. So, I think that, we've established a manufacturing facility in the Middle East and, this obviously means that there is an ongoing cost impacting margins currently on an ongoing basis. We believe that this is the most efficient way for us to move forward. So the India tariffs going to 18% really do not have any bearing on our company, because we've got a CBP approved process whereby our country of origin is UAE.
Got it. Understood. So we don't have any. So I mean, the existing run rate and the margin is reflective of the extra expenses or to buy from which we are running the operation now.
That's right.
In terms of the manufacturing.
That's right. Got it.
So the other question was, if you could highlight how much is the gross and the net debt right now, and how much it was in the previous quarter.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can have someone from the IR team come back to you with the number.
Okay, fine. And the other question was, just want to understand this growth which we've had is obviously extremely impressive. Just want to understand what's actually driving this growth, because obviously when we look at some of the industry players globally, they're not having these kind of growth. So just want to understand the how we should be looking at it, and if there's any guidance you can give us with regards to growth for the year ahead.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, our growth effectively is about 15-16%, which we believe is sustainable. I think the headline numbers shows 35% revenue growth, and that includes one-time bullion sales, which will continue for one more quarter, and they'll stop, because of our UAE manufacturing and some amount of outsourcing there. There was some element of bullion sales. So I think the revenue growth is 16%, and bottom line obviously is growing faster because of two reasons. One is we did a major cost-saving initiative about a year ago, which we started, that went into Q1 of this year. And the resulting cost savings, as well as the shift in margins shift in business to D2C.
Got it. And the bullion sales which we did, how large were the profits from that?
Zero. I think it was essentially to facilitate manufacturing.
Got it. Okay. I'll just rejoin the queue for the other question.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sudhir Beda with Beda Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. See, as a shareholder, we are disappointed with the result which you have declared. Last three quarters, you have been saying we have saved 40 crore, but nowhere it is seen where you have saved 40 crore, because margin has never improved. If you see this year, even this quarter margin, operating profit, which is just 7%, which is much less than what it was like 2-3 quarters back. So from where you have saved 40 crore, I am not able to understand, number one. And then second, your revenue has also good. You have shown good growth in the revenue, which is very nice to see that kind of growth. But that operating leverage has not kicked up. And that is not, we cannot see on the bottom line that is happening. And D2C brand, which also has grown well under your able leadership. But then it is somehow not reflecting in the bottom line. So can you explain how it is happening, and what is the future guidance can you give on the profitability front and EBITDA front?
Yeah. So I think if you take the 9 months expenses, X of advertising, you will see that the savings are 36 crores. So I think that just please go through the numbers carefully, and you will see that the expenses have gone down year over year. That's number one. Number two, I think that setting up a manufacturing facility in the Middle East has involved some amount of expenses, and which was essentially something that happened in the August, September, October period, and there were expenses that we had budgeted, setting up a factory in a short timeline involved expenses that could not have been foreseen a few quarters ago. So I think there are a few puts and takes. I think that the fact that, the PBT margin has gone up from last year, I'm not sure, how you're looking at it, because the right way to look at it is to exclude the bullion sales. Because the bullion sales is increasing the top line. So if you take a 16% increase in revenue, PBT margins have gone up by 31% on 16% revenue growth.
I was talking about the EBITDA margin, operating profit margin, that has gone down.
The operating profit margin in this quarter is higher than it was 1 year ago.
No, but last 2-3 quarters, if you see, it has not improved, but in fact it has gone down actually. If you really see the operating margin and the pure screener, I have seen that it has come down.
Yeah, because you're in the screener, the bullion sales for the two quarters are included. So what I'm asking you to do is to look at the sales X of the bullion, and once you do that, the margins have actually increased.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So what is your guidance going forward as your BTC sales is going to improve much more than your other verticals? So what is the guidance of margin? Will it be double-digit kind of margin we will be able to see next year?
Yes, so I think as we've maintained, you know, I think that as the direct-to-consumer proportion goes up, margins, will increase, and our endeavor definitely is over a 2-3-year period to get to double-digit margins. So, you know, that doesn't change. I think that, you know, with the introduction of the tariffs in August, there has been volatility in this quarter, and, you know, the profit numbers are slightly below our expectations. But I think given the circumstance and, you know, the short period in which we had to deliver the quarter, I think that our team did an exceptional job of delivering for our customers and improving margins along the way. Our long-term vision of improving direct-to-consumer business, doubling that and making that, you know, 20%-25% of our sales remains, and we continue to work towards that objective.
Sir, my last question is about working capital. Our debtor days, can you throw some light on that? What would it is as of December?
Yeah, so I think that the debtor days, as you know, as we've maintained, are in and around 90 days or so, and they've been stable at that number.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of TV Osad with Subhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So what would be our inventory days at the end of 9 months?
Mr. Kosar, sorry for interrupting. We cannot hear you. Can you come in the range and talk?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what would be our inventory days in the first at the end of the first 9 months?
Darshan, would you have that number handy?
Yeah, it'll be in the range of around 45 days.
Okay.
Based on annualized.
Okay. And sir, what would be the bullion sales? What would be the trajectory in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, so I think in the fourth quarter, we expect to have about a month and a half of bullion sales. So I would assume that it will be probably around 80, and then it will wind down from Q1 onwards, because, you know, we were outsourcing our manufacturing for a few quarters. Our own manufacturing facility is now ready and operational. So around the 20th of February, bullion sales would stop.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Ritesh Gandhi with Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So, you know, you'd indicated you'd expected ROCEs of about 20% or going ahead, and you're aspiring towards that. Just wanted to understand how we expect to achieve this in terms of the little drivers of that.
So I think, you know, as the proportion of direct-to-consumer goes up, you know, I think our direct-to-consumer business is actually essentially extremely capital-light. It involves, you know, it's a negative working capital cycle business. I think as that business goes towards the 20s, we would expect our ROEs and ROCEs to inch up. And I think the 20% aspiration is more a long-term aspiration over 3 to 4 years. I don't think we are getting from where we are today to that number in, you know, within a short time frame. So that's sort of a 3-year goal, and, you know, meaningfully as we scale the D2C business, we would see the ROCEs go up.
Good. But, you know, even if we like look at our cash conversion cycle over the last few years, you know, it's gone up in the 24 from 23 has gone up from 25 to 24. We don't have the related balance sheet numbers. But sort of despite our D2C becoming a higher proportion, despite us actually exiting some of the low ROC businesses, right, we're still sort of having a like cash conversion cycle of, you know, over 300 days. Like this is 80 to 300 days.
Yeah, so I think, Pritesh, one of the challenges obviously has been due to, you know, the tariffs getting introduced. The inventory days has increased this year because the manufacturing timeline itself has become significantly longer, right? I mean, we are first buying metal in Dubai, buying the metal, then bringing it into India. So the working capital cycle has become longer due to this fact. Number two is, as lab diamonds become larger, our sort of, you know, payable days has become shorter because, you know, we are not buying as many diamonds because lab diamonds are lower in value. So there are multiple puts and takes here that are kind of affecting our cash conversion cycle. But your point is well taken. I think we are cognizant of the fact that there are, you know, some customers which...
Because I'm looking at your little 25 numbers, which is before any introduction of this tariff, right? Even there, we are seeing some amount of an increase in your cash conversion versus what we would typically expect to see a reduction as you,
yeah.
As yeah. You know, you, yeah, as you exited the lower ROC businesses.
Yes, I was just getting to that. There are a few customers which are consignment heavy, and as our D2C business scales, you will see over the next couple of years or so us exiting those businesses because we are aware that there are certain department stores which are extremely consignment heavy and they become a drag on our inventory days. So, you know, there is a conscious effort that, you know, as we scale this business, you know, there is going to be on the B2B side certain low ROE, ROC customers where the cash conversion cycles are very poor, we may need to exit.
Good. And but are those historically reasonably high on profitability? So there's sort of ultimately the inventory days may be higher, but the EBITDA is higher.
No, I think they are not. I think that, you know, it was a matter of a sort of scale and spreading our operating overhead. I think that at the right opportune moment, you know, it would be not margin accretive after accounting for cost of capital. So we are cognizant of that, and they are, you know, they are businesses that after exiting would be kind of an offset to cost of debt.
Got it. And you know, while you don't have the exact numbers on your net debt, there obviously is a slight increase in your interest rate in your December quarter compared to your September quarter. Just want to understand that, you know, despite generating reasonably good EBITDA, right, despite effectively exiting some of our businesses which aren't particularly attractive, you know, is our like net debt is still reducing, actually. So just want to understand what the reason is, because our highest growth is coming in an area that's reasonably asset light. Right, so it
yeah.
isn't even that the growth yeah. is eating up our capital.
So Q2 to Q3 is not a sort of not a valid comparison because you know of seasonality, and you know, as I mentioned to you, what has happened is due to the shift in business to lab grown, our payable days has gone down meaningfully. So you know that's one source of funding, right? Working capital is funded through sort of you know, either gold you buy in advance or diamonds are bought on credit. So payable days have gone down is kind of one reason. And I think year over year, they've remained sort of largely stable. I think 9 months interest costs are lower. Q3 to Q2 is not a fair comparison in a sense because of seasonality. It would again go down in Q4 as compared to Q3. Because a lot of our receivables are collected in January, February, and March.
Got it. So if you were to like look at it, just broadly speaking, if I'm just looking at your operating free cash flow, right, in the 2024 and 2025 was extremely low, right? Just want to understand that as we look ahead, you know, is the EBITDA when will we see a strong conversion from EBITDA to actually operating free cash flow?
So I think, you know, the attempt is, you know, as I just mentioned, you will see these as we kind of reduce exposure to customers where the cash conversion cycle is poor. I think some of these customers are not accretive in terms of returns over cost of capital. So, you know, we believe that as we scale these businesses, you will see us in the following year actually scale down business with some customers. And so, I mean, if you look at it over a 5-year period, you know, there has been two challenging years. The 3 or 4 years prior to that, there was significant and positive cash conversion. So I think we acknowledge that there have been 2 years which have been challenging. But, you know, I think as the D2C business is scaling nicely, you will see the cash conversion cycle improve meaningfully in the following financial year.
Got it. And that these and the customers which we have identified, are these like new customers or are they like customers whose like velocity of like transactions has reduced, or you just want to understand the reason or that we haven't, that the action has already been taken, or is it about to be taken? How are we looking at that?
It's work in progress. It's, you know, with some of them we've already begun the process, and I think it will it will accelerate into next year.
Got it. And just wanted to also understand as we've expanded our D2C business, have the unit economics changed in any way in terms of the cost of acquisition of clients, in terms of the margins we make, all that? Just wanted to understand how that is playing out as we are achieving scale.
Yeah, so I think if you see the operating profit, I mean, there is a meaningful improvement in the profitability, which is because of operating leverage that you're seeing, right? On 50% revenue growth, the operating profit has gone up by 90% in the D2C business. So that's clearly a reflection of operating leverage.
Got it. And the operating leverage is basically because of the more optimal ratio and of our fixed costs, or is it some amount of optimization with regards to the cost of acquisition of product customers and overall revenue?
Yeah. So I didn't hear your question fully, but I think the gist of it is that I think that it's a combination of marketing efficiencies as well as the overhead getting spread over a much larger base.
Got it. All right. And just overall, as we look at the NOF market in the US, are you seeing any kind of overall slowdown in the market as a whole? Obviously, we are okay given how small we are in terms of the overall market, but just any insight that you could share on how the growth of the industry is going?
I think just our sort of understanding or reading is that it's relatively stable, and U.S. consumer demand remains robust. We're not seeing any signs of weakness.
Got it. And in terms of like lab-grown versus the natural, is that you've obviously seen a large move which has happened. Is the percentage now of like large versus lab versus natural still increasing, or is it sort of stabilizing now, the ratio between the two?
I think we continue to see a shift towards lab-grown diamonds. I think that the trend is very clear, and it will continue to accelerate.
Thank you. Mr. Gandhi, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Shashank Jain with Delhi Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, I wanted to ask that, you know, since you have been saying that we'll be getting in D2C business, in the time being. So, sir, won't our inventory go down and even like the working capital dependency as we will be getting the most of the money in advance? Yes, sir, that's my first question.
Yeah, so I think, you know, on the D2C business currently, you know, it's about 13% of sales. As that goes, you know, to a larger number, you're absolutely right that the net working capital days will improve for the business.
And sir, on the second question, sir, also, how is the demand looking like? You know, since the gold prices and silver prices have gone up substantially, and like most of our business comes from the U.S.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the impact of that will sort of be known only in the current quarter and going forward. I think a lot of retailers took price increases for tariffs, but not due to metal, because some of them have quarterly locks and a lot of them would have inventory. As of right now, we're not seeing significant impact, but, you know, time will tell. It's something that, you know, one needs to watch carefully, because it has been a very meaningful increase in the raw material.
Yes, sir. And sir, what are our plans to grow the Indian store and businesses? We see that Titan is also entering in this segment, which gives us a big validation. And also, like, our peers have been growing. So, sir, yeah. And sir, what would be the, like, the PAT margins look for the next year, considering the change in the business mix?
Yeah, so I think as of right now, you know, our India business is wait and watch. We are not, you know, actively looking at growing it meaningfully. We are not happy with the unit economics of the business so far. In terms of PAT margins, you know, I don't have an exact number, but, you know, on the operating margins, clearly our goal would be over a two or three-year time frame to go to double digits. We're currently at approximately 8% or so, and the goal would be to go to, you know, double digits over the next few years.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll join back in the queue for more questions.
Just a point on the inventory days, it's 140 days as of now.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to two questions. Next question comes from the line of Majid Ahmed with Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. So my first question is, especially I want to understand, sir, what's the reason of gross margin compression, sir? What is the reason for that?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, again, gross margin has compressed due to the bullion sales, you know, being in the numerator. I think that ex of that, they would not have compressed.
And sir, if I see our licensed brands and customer brands, so, like, how are we going forward looking to sustain margins and improve their business?
Sorry, could you please repeat your question? I couldn't hear your question.
Yeah. Sir, in the licensed brand segment and customer brand segment, we are seeing margin compression happening. Going forward, what is the stable margins for FY 2026?
Yeah, so I think, you know, yeah, on the licensed brands, you know, we're currently in the process of reevaluating some of the licenses that we have. We had a lot of fringe licenses, which we are in the process of discontinuing to sort of focus around the core of, you know, the Disney license that we have. So we did see some degrowth, and that caused some compression in margins on that business. So, you know, I think that, you know, as we reduce costs in line with the reduced margins, and there are some exit costs related to some of these licenses, the margins have compressed. I think over the long term, we do expect the margins to stabilize.
When can we expect, sir, the margins to come back to be in line with the numbers?
In the licensed brands specifically or overall?
Overall, both the licensed and overall.
So in the licensed brands, this year we're at about 13.3 versus 14.8. So I mean, we would expect that you know, the business should it should stabilize around the 15% number.
So can you expect the FY27 from next quarter? Can you see any improvements?
I think it will be probably FY27 because there is some volume degrowth happening on the license brand segment right now due to the exit of some of the licenses. So it will probably be in FY27.
Sir, finally, I just want to understand, like, how much CapEx are we planning for beyond this year, sir, for FY27?
Yeah, so currently we've signed up three additional locations for calendar year 26, and so the capital expenditure for those three, including working capital, would be around 25 crores.
Okay. Finally, sir, like, what type of revenue growth target are you looking for FY27?
For FY26?
Yes, 26 and 27.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, this year, obviously, I mean, you've seen the growth. I mean, we've registered healthy growth this year. It's a bit soon to tell for FY27. I mean, currently, the momentum does remain strong. The only sort of variable here right now is the metal prices that have gone up and what impact it has on consumer demand. You know, I think that we'll be able to get a slightly better view in a quarter or two. Right now, I don't have very clear visibility on FY27. I think FY26, you know, our revenues are up about 30% or so. So we expect to close off the year strong. I think FY27 is a little early to say.
So FY26, we can look around 7 to 8% EBITDA.
Yeah, that's where we're currently at. Yes.
So that's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Shrut Payani with Aliza India. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, sir. Sir, so John Duce operates at significantly higher ticket sizes. So, as we are going to expand to 5 boutiques by the end of 2026, can we expect blended margins of the D2C portfolio to, like, improve?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, we're even in this quarter, we've seen margins improve, and we will continue to see the direct-to-consumer margins go up as we expand, John Duce.
All right. With working capital discipline improving and these discontinued operations behind us, what is the timeline to achieve mid-20s ROCE?
I think I would say realistically 3 years is when we would get there.
3 years. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Pawan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So essentially, I mean, you know, in Q4, we are saying that demand is good, but then there are headwinds. So how should we read it? So it should be better quarter on quarter. How should we read it?
So quarter on quarter is not really a good way to see our business because, you know, Q3 is... in terms of sales volume, normally the highest quarter. I mean, year over year, we should see, you know, reasonable growth. I think that that would be the right way to do it. I think, you know, how demand sort of plays out going forward is yet unknown. Overall, the U.S. Consumer remains healthy. I think, as I mentioned, the variable is the metal prices going up and what impact that has on consumer demand, albeit temporarily, is not fully certain.
Sir, it's been like about 20-30 days already since metal prices are up. What are you taking? I mean, what are the cues to take for last, say, 1 month?
So the time for our customers to pass on the price increases a little bit longer than that, because a lot of them have quarterly gold locks and we usually have hedging positions where we protect ourselves for the quarterly gold locks. So, and they normally have inventory at older costs. So it takes a while for the price increases to show up at the retail consumer. So I would say 30 to 40 days is a little too soon to gauge impact on demand.
That's surprising actually, because I mean, at least in India, I mean, if I go to purchase at a retail counter, it is the gold is at today's price. There's no lag in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, in the US, jewelry is not sold as a component basis. It's kind of an MRP-based product, similar to what apparel and footwear would be. So, yeah, it's while you know, it's typical in India, and in our Iraswa business, we change prices every day along with gold. That's not how it's done in the US, UK, and Canada.
Okay, and in terms of the composition of inventory, generally what is, how much is metal, I mean gold, and how much is say stone for us?
So I would say 50-50 would be a reasonable ratio between metal and stones.
Okay, so when you say 140 days, I mean at the end of the financial year FY25, it was actually substantially higher than 140 days. So, I mean, so should we end the year with similar 140 odd days, or how should we think about it?
Yeah, that's right. We're currently at 140 days. We were at 166 days as of September. So inventory has meaningfully gone down. And our net working capital days has also gone down compared to the previous years, and so has the debtors. You know, as I explained earlier, we're in the process of exiting from unprofitable customers. So our net working capital days, receivables, as well as inventory days has gone down meaningfully quarter over quarter and year over year.
Okay. And in terms of John, do you say, what are the timelines to open new stores?
So currently, we have one store opening on July 1, another one on September, and another one in November. So there are three slated for calendar year 26.
Okay, and I would want to presume that in your John Duce store, the gold component is very less, because the stone itself is priced very high.
Yes.
So that should not impact your revenue. I mean,
on the direct to consumer business, we've not seen an impact. You know, because we work on a zero inventory model, we obviously have to take prices in real time. So just to clarify, on our direct to consumer business, we have not seen a significant impact on demand due to metal. However, we have not passed on all of the metal price increases to consumers. We are doing it in a thoughtful and calibrated manner. The impact on margin is 1 or 2%, and you know, the gross margins are 65. So it is not a meaningful impact on our margins. And on the D2C business, as I mentioned, we have been taking calibrated price increases, and we have not seen a very meaningful impact on demand. What I was referring to was on the B2B side, which is kind of the larger business. A lot of retailers who have inventory have not yet taken price fully, and we don't know what the impact of demand will be from our retail partners on the B2B business.
And lastly, sir, during the course of this quarter, there have been some shares sold by the promoters. Can you clarify why was that done, and should you reinstate your shareholding now?
You know, I'd have to get back to you. I think it was a very small number, if there was. I will have my IR come back to you with what the quantum was.
Okay. No, I think, but you know, I mean, the stock hasn't, I mean, after the fundraise, the stock hasn't done much. And, if the promoters were to increase the stake, that would actually, you know, provide confidence to minority investors.
Sure. Yes.
And so looking forward to interacting with you more often. I think we've not been, despite being investors, we've not been able to meet you very often.
Sure, sure. Look forward to it.
Yeah, so I have put in a request. Please, looking forward to meet you.
Sure, sure.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Shashank Jain, Delhi Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, so as we are focusing on more on the D2C side, so like we have brands Giant Doucet, Jewelry, Eraswa. So is there any other brand that we are looking for, or will be growing from these segments? By these brands,
I mean, you know, we're constantly sort of on the lookout and evaluating opportunities. I think that you know, clearly the ambition is to transition from a B2B company to a company that generates a large majority of their profits from direct to consumer. I think currently you know, there is enough runway for organic growth with the brands that we have. Having said that, I think if the right opportunity comes by, we're open to evaluating further acquisition opportunities.
So is there any opportunities right
now? Nothing specific that I can report.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions. Should you need any further clarifications, or if you would like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our investor relations team.
Thank you. On behalf of Renaissance Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.